Let's sing this together.
Sun, glad morning when the sun is over.
This morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Do you know him today?
Your name above all names.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Come on, let's lift our voices.
You're worthy of it all.
I need you to hear what I'm about to say. From this point going forward, there's a couple of things that I'm not doing. All right, number one, I am not promoting any sin. Y'all with me? You heard that one? Number two, I am not excusing any sin. Y'all with me? So those are two things that I'm not going to do. You don't need to hear that, no matter what you hear going forward. I'm convicted because I believe we've grown comfortable talking about only certain types of sin. Not only talking about them, but realizing them in our own lives. James 2:10 gives us a little sobering message on how God looks at our sins. For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the whole law. While not all sins have the same earthly consequences, they all do one thing. They all separate us from God. Every one of them. What has led to this is I've had several conversations, three or four conversations with different people over the last 2 weeks. Same conversation, different people. Totally isolated. There was no way to connect any of them. And in a couple of the conversations, they detailed sin X, sin Y, sin Z. And as they detailed them, what they were trying to do as they detailed those sins was to prove and show that this person they were talking about did not believe in Jesus Christ. Then a couple of the other conversations were very similar. They started the same way. So-and-so does X, does Y, and does Z, or they were doing that, and now they're no longer doing that, so now we know they're back in a good relationship with Jesus Christ. Both of those conversations were centered upon almost identical sins, the same sins, and these sins, well, what are they showing? I mean, are they showing us that we have salvation or that we don't? Is this the measure? It just blew my mind. Here's what I rarely ever hear somebody bring up, whether they're talking about themselves or somebody else. Rarely ever do I hear somebody say, Philip, I am broken on not doing the things that God has called me to do. Are you broken because you regularly, daily fail to do the things that God has clearly called you to do? If you heard this week that I had stepped out on Bethany, that I had committed the act of adultery, do you think that I would be standing where I'm standing today? I guarantee you I would have had a visit by a few gentlemen at my house this week, and they've been like, you know, I understand that you're a sinner just like us, but we can't let you be the pastor of the church anymore because of what you've done. Now let's make that a little different. Would the same thing happen if they had heard that I failed to share the gospel with a person that I could have shared the gospel with this week? Mm-mm. What's the difference? I mean, obviously, besides the obvious differences. Is one a sin and one not? Is one greater than the other? We've become complacent with sins of omission. Well, it's okay. I mean, he fell short. He didn't get that done this week. But is that okay? Or is it leading to a huge problem? I've titled this, The Silent Sins Hindering the Great Commission. I have three goals for this sermon to accomplish. Number one, I want us to realize that we may not have a full view of sin. Number two, I want us to become aware of how deep our own sinfulness truly runs, not just what we're thinking it runs. And number three, I want us to daily strive not just to avoid sins of commission, but to repent of the sins of omission that are ongoing in our lives and we don't even know about. If we're to combat silent sins from hindering the Great Commission, then we must know sins of commission and omission. Commission and omission. There's a difference. Commission means doing what God forbids. Murdering somebody when he said not to. Committing adultery when he said not to. Doing something God clearly told us not to do. These are typically visible. They're obvious. Lying, stealing, gossip. When somebody commits these sins of commission, usually everybody has a front page view of it. You can see it. It's evidence. You can take a picture of it. David's sin with Bathsheba is a great example of a sin of commission. Not only did he commit the adultery that he was caught in doing, but then he committed murder to cover up the adultery. These are sins of commission. He did what God told him not to do. Okay? That's the one we're more familiar with. The other one is the sin of omission. Omission means failing to do what God has commanded you to do. So we don't do what we're told to do. What happened when you were a child? We should have all learned that lesson when we were a child. Mama told you to go do something. You didn't do it. What happened? She celebrate with you? No, she probably tore that rear end up. So we're used to that. We kind of understand that. Sins of omission are usually quiet, but equally as serious. And that's what we need to understand today. They're equally as serious as a sin of commission. James 4:17 says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it is what? Sin. Work with me. I'm going to need some amens this morning. This one ain't easy to take. I need to know that you're with me, though, because I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. We see the sin of omission very apparently in the case of the Samaritan. The Samaritan is there on the side of the road. He can't do anything. Priest walks by. What does he do? Levite walks by. What does he do? Omission. They could have done good. They could have helped him. They walked right on by. They didn't kick him. They didn't murder him. But they failed to do anything. They omitted what they should have done. These sins break God's commands and plans by what we don't do. One kind of sin shouts from the rooftops. The other one just stays silent and unnoticeable. but both separate us from God. And if, as the church, if we only avoid the loud sins, we'll falsely believe we're clean. I ain't killed nobody today. I ain't done this. I ain't done this. What did you do? Ain't done nothing. Nothing good nor bad. A quiet church can't fulfill the Great Commission. Beware of both sins, commission and omission. If we're to combat silent sins from hindering the Great Commission, then we must see that we have grown comfortable with sins of omission. We've grown comfortable. Now, I'm not talking to everybody. I'm mainly talking to myself, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some of you out there that can hear this message today. We get comfortable with it. We're good with it. We're not even bothered by this sin anymore. Sins of omission are dangerous precisely because they don't make us uncomfortable. They let us look clean on the outside while being filthy on the inside. You don't know whether I've shared the gospel with anybody today or not. You don't know whether I've forgiven somebody today or not. You don't know that I've been ugly to somebody, failed to help somebody. You don't know that. I can look clean as a whistle, and y'all would never know it. We excuse them, we rationalize them, and sometimes we just simply ignore them because they don't cost us our reputation with other humans. Humans should not be our standard. We often say things like, well, that's not really my gift. God has not gifted me in that way. So I don't have to do that. Isn't Bethany really good at that? She should be doing that. I mean, I'm not very comfortable doing those things. So it's okay. I dismiss it. I'm not the man, right? Sometimes we'll say, I know that is a need, but somebody else will do that. John, I think he's going to do it. John should do it. He's the right guy. We always depend upon that just somebody else will take care of our business when clearly the Holy Spirit has called you to the business. And you just say, well, somebody else will do it. Here's one of my favorites. I'll pray about it. What does that mean? Are you going to pray about it? Or are you just delaying and trying to get me to not talk to you about it no more? I pray about it oftentimes is what we tell our children. We'll think about it. What is I think about it means no. Don't let I'll pray about it be a code word for no when somebody asks you to do something. Let's look at four common sins of omission. There's 400, maybe 400,000. I don't know how many there are, but I'm going to talk about four that I think are prominent that we all need to embrace. Number one, failing to share the gospel. We say, oh, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to upset them. I don't know where they're at. I don't know how they'll take it. I'm not sure if it's the right time. Was that part of the parameters of whether when you should share the gospel or not? Was that some subheadings that I didn't see? Are those in the margin? I think our silence to share God's Son grieves His heart. He gave the greatest gift that ever was, and we're scared to offend somebody by telling them about it. Romans 10:14 haunts me. I want you to hear this. If you're not a gospel sharer, I want you to hear this. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? What's the method to use this, to speak words so that they can hear it, so that they can believe it? Do we believe that? Every unspoken testimony of how God has changed your life, saved your soul, And every time we refrain from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is a missed opportunity. And it's sin. It's disobedience. Because you've been commanded to do it. It's a sin of omission. Number two, it's kind of quiet in here, failing to forgive. Forgiveness is not easy. We justify bitterness by saying, they don't deserve it. You don't know what they've done to me. Ephesians 4:32, here's the command. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. And then, the escape route, the gate has fallen down. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know what the problem that God has with a Christian who is unwilling to forgive? Is he's a hypocrite. Because who in here has required forgiveness from God? Everybody in here, raise your hand. Everybody. Every single person, raise your hand. We all have required it. And for those who have called upon Jesus Christ, believed in Him, and asked Him for forgiveness, you've been given it. And when we've been given such a great gift, and we've been forgiven of such a trespass, and we refuse to forgive somebody for doing something petty, how does God look at that? Oh, you can't forgive that? Have you forgotten what you've been forgiven of? But we'll refuse, we'll okay with not forgiving other people because we're like, well, I mean, I'm not going to feel bad about that. We didn't deserve our forgiveness, but Christ forgave us anyway. What about failing to pray? Jesus and the New Testament authors clearly command Christians to pray. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So we're commanded to pray. Yet we don't pray. Too busy. Boy, let me tell you about the morning I had. I was so busy this morning. And then I got to work and I was so busy. And then when I got home, the kids were acting like clowns and I got upset. And then I went to bed and I was so tired, I just didn't even pray. Is that okay? We're commanded to pray. Devote yourselves to prayer, yet we don't do it. But is that what we talk about? Is that how we say somebody is given evidence of their Christianity? Man, he never fails to pray. Probably not. I've never heard somebody celebrate somebody because they were a prayer warrior. Last one. Failing to obey the Spirit's promptings. The Spirit says, go. Jesus says, go. What do we say? No. Maybe later. I'm not sure that that's the Holy Spirit telling me to do that. Is that my head? Is that the Holy Spirit? Ooh, I think that's just in my head. That can't be the Holy Spirit telling me to do that. Luke 6, we got this in Sunday school. I appreciate Sam bringing this up. In case we were wondering, Luke 6, 46 and 47, it's not going to be on the screen. I didn't give this to David. I'm just going to read it to you. Luke chapter 6, 46, 47. These are words in red. Jesus is speaking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. Doing. What he says. If we keep living comfortable in these quiet sins, the mission will always feel stalled. But the good news is God doesn't just convict us and leave us there. God convicts us so that we will correct. God brings to our awareness where we're falling short so that we can do something different. And thank God he gave us his Holy Spirit so that we can be successful. Not in our power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome these sins of omission and not grow comfortable with them. Lastly, if we're to combat silent sins from hindering the Great Commission, we must see that God calls us to confess and correct what we've left undone. Confess and correct. Conviction is never meant to leave us crushed It's meant to lead us to correction. God doesn't expose sin to shame us. He exposes our sin to shape us. When He reveals what we've left undone, He's calling us back to obedience to Him. Here are three things every Christian in here can do today. Every one of us. If you're a Christian, you can do this. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you got to do that first. But here's what every Christian can do. Confess what we've left undone. That's the first thing. Listen to the heart of the psalmist here in 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Ask God for forgiveness. Guess what? You're not going to surprise Him. God knows every shortcoming. He knows every trespass of commission. He knows every trespass of omission. But it's our responsibility to confess those things and ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to search you and purge you of those things. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm curious about this. I'm pretty sure every person in here has prayed and asked forgiveness for something that you have done, a sin of commission. I'm sure you have. I'm positive. But I would love to know how many people have asked forgiveness for sins of omission. How many times have you asked God to forgive you when you clearly knew you were supposed to share the gospel with that person and you walked away? How many times have you asked God to forgive you when He showed you what was the right thing to do and you chose the wrong thing to do? Should we be praying for our sins of omission? Pray, ask Him for forgiveness? Absolutely. Absolutely we should. True confession says, Lord, forgive me of what I've done and for what I've ignored. Secondly, correct it through obedience. James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. If I hear something today and I don't apply it, I don't put hands and feet on it by Monday or Tuesday, on Wednesday you can ask me about it and I may not even remember I heard it. That's the importance of doing. When you hear something and you do it, it goes in here and it goes in here, and we can be successful to remember it and do it again in the future. John 14:5, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Correction means doing the thing we've delayed. It means hearing truth without obeying and knowing that that's spiritual deception. Our love for Jesus is not proven by avoiding a few sins, especially the ones that we find to be really easy. You know, we all got those. We all got those sins that we're like, man, I am really good at not doing that. And I can talk to you about it and how easy, man, I'm so successful. I'd never murder anybody. I don't want to murder anybody. It's not hard for me to do. But I ain't going to talk to you about those things that I stumble on every day. Amen. A great truth is that a medicine only heals if you take it. And so if we're only hearing the Word of God and not putting it in and ingesting in our lives, it ain't going to help. Just like those antibiotics that you quit taking before the doctor told you and the infection came back. Medicine only heals when you take it. Number three, experience renewed mission and power. I've been reading 2 Timothy in the morning time, and this really spoke to me. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor. Y'all all know the Apostle Paul, his ministry, his conviction, his passion, his willingness to suffer. 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. When we correct what we've not been doing, we rediscover God's power. Paul had God's power in his life. It was clear evidence. The same Spirit we've resisted is ready to empower us and empower our ministries when we begin to obey and start doing these things that we're commanded to do. A church that confesses and corrects its omission becomes a church that fulfills the Great Commission. You can't change what you did yesterday, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about tomorrow. We're talking about doing something different, starting today. If this has been a problem for you, it's just time to confess it. It's time to ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to start following these commands. The Great Commission isn't hindered because of what the world does, guys. All the parades, all the teachings in the schools, in the colleges, the establishments, that's not what's hurting the Great Commission. But we look at them like, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Look, they're doing this. They're doing this. You know what's hurting the Great Commission? Y'all ready? Me. You know who else is? You. Why are we expecting a world that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ to live like Him? Why are we expecting a world that doesn't know about Jesus Christ to believe in Him? How is it that in 2025, with all the information that we have today and all the people and all the churches and all the communities, how come I can go to Hayden and ask somebody who's Jesus and they go, I don't know, I never heard of Him? Because I failed. That's why. Sin of omission. Let's stop excusing what's left undone and just saying somebody else will do it. That's not my gift. I'll pray about it. Let's confess it, correct it, and commit to walk in step with the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. I believe when the people of God repent from omission, the mission of God will move forward. The silent sins hindering the Great Commission. I've got four questions for you. Do you believe that the world around us stands in a pitiful, decaying state? I'm looking. Where you at? Yeah? Okay. That's number one. Number two, do you believe that part of the result is our fault? What'd y'all say? Yes? Okay. You can say no. I'm just asking you the questions. Number three, could our failure to know and pursue obedience to the commands we've been called to obey have attributed to this problem? Could people not knowing about Jesus and not living according to His principles be a direct result of us omitting our call to fulfill the Great Commission? What's the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go, command. Make disciples, command. Baptizing them, command. Teaching them, command. How many of them are you omitting? That's sin, if I understand this right. I think refusing to omit this one command, refusing, being unwilling to, after this day, not follow this command, I think could change the world. I think if we caught fire and had a revival and had a conviction to start sharing Jesus Christ with everybody that God put in our path, I think the whole world would change. Again, guys, here's a great truth. Stop expecting an unbeliever to live like a believer. Y'all hear me? That's crazy. They don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason I'm ever successful. What can change that? Not by giving them a laundry list and a checklist and a true-false test. You're going to have to just tell them who Jesus Christ is. What He's done for them. And I'm going to go over that in a minute. It's rampant. what solidified this sermon today was an encounter I had with a man who I did not know if he was a Christian or not. I was unsure. Known him for a long time. Never once have shared gospel with him. Again, I'm preaching to myself. Amen. But the Lord opened up the door. I'm talking about I felt the wind off of it when it swung open. And I said, where are you at spiritually? If you died today, what's going to happen for you? I love the awkwardness of these kinds. I just love it. I love it. It makes me, I like it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm like, we got serious, didn't it? Well, I'm sinning, and I've done some sins, and I'm not living exactly like I'm supposed to. I said, stop. That's not what I ask you. I know you're a sinner. The Bible tells me that. I said, tell me about the time that you understood who Jesus Christ was, that you believed in your heart that he was Lord, that you confessed him to be your Lord and Savior, and you asked him to forgive you. That's a lot different. We got to quit measuring everybody's ability to get saved or whether their ability based upon these sins. We're all sinners. We got to get to the point. Where are you at with Jesus Christ? Do you believe? Do you not believe? Do you follow Jesus Christ? Has he forgiven you of your sins? That's what we need to know. And not be distracted by all these other things. We're all sinners. We all fall short, right? But it all boils down to where you at with Jesus Christ. Has he forgiven you of those sins or not? Because Jesus has done the work. He said, it is finished, and I believe it. Our focus should be fulfilling his commands to act out of our love for him, for Jesus, and the salvation that he's given us. And want other people to have that too because you love them enough to share it. We're not earning our salvation by doing this. We're fulfilling our calling. Instead of resting upon our success and avoiding a few sins of commission, today I encourage you to confess the silent sins that you've been committing over and over and over and ask God to forgive you for that and to empower you to be able to follow those commands and stop omitting them every day. If we do this, we can join God in advancing the Great Commission. So I've asked you to share the gospel. I hope you heard that. I really hope you did. But it would be unfair for me to ask you to share something that you're like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I want to do it. I believe what you're saying is true. I believe Jesus did tell us to do that. I'm going to give you something, and you write this down. If you're today, you don't know how to share the gospel, if somebody came in here and said, share the gospel with me, and you would lock up, and you wouldn't know what to do, I'm going to give you the Philip Brimmerman, Hayden, Alabama, Blount County, most simple, memorable way that you can share the gospel with somebody as long as you've got five fingers, five toes, five something, you can remember it. Are you ready? I start with my thumb and I say, God so loved the world that he sent his son to earth, born of a virgin. Y'all remember that? If you remember Christmas, you can remember that because that's what we're celebrating. And that's where I start. And then it's really important to let people know that he walked this earth for 30-something years and he lived a perfect life. Perfect. He was sinless. He was a spotless sacrifice. He fulfilled the law. But you ain't got to remember all those extra things I'm saying. Just remember, he lived a perfect life. Number three, important here in the middle, is the cross. Jesus willingly died on the cross and he took on the sins of the world. And because he was the perfect sacrifice, his blood covered and forgives us of our sins if we believe in him and ask him for forgiveness. Okay? The cross. Number four, another big event happened after this. You know what? 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, he did what? He got up, defeating death and confirming that everything he said was true. And lastly, he He walked the earth for 40 days, and then he ascended to the Father where he is right now making intercession for us. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus has done. The gospel means good news. If you've got five fingers, you can share with somebody the information they need to know to believe and confess in Jesus Christ as Lord. If today that's the first time you've heard the gospel and you want to believe in it, and you believe in that, I just encourage you to, if you believe it, pray during this time of invitation and just confirm everything. Let God know. Let Jesus know you want him to be your Lord and Savior for the rest of your days. You want that forgiveness. And I'd encourage you to do that if that's the first time you've ever heard the gospel and you believe it. But during this time, the band can come back up, the worship team can come back up. I know I've been passionate about this today, and I went a lot longer than I ever wanted to. But guys, we're in bad shape. And I think part of it is because we've gotten comfortable with omitting the commands that God's called us to do. And so this altar is going to be open during this time of response. I want to encourage you. If you need to come down here and pray and ask God to help you, to forgive you of the sins that you've been omitting, just like you're used to asking for forgiveness for the sins that you've been committing, now's a great time to do that. If you need help, if you know, hey, I haven't been sharing your gospel, but I want to, I know I need to, I'm commanded to, but God, I need your help, now's the time to come down and just get in prayer. Let somebody pray with you, because this world is in desperate need of the gospel.